The opinions expressed in this Spirited Sports podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Life or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening. Welcome to the Spirited Sports podcast. I'm Nick Chico.
And I'm Todd Ashdua. From the ovations of the crowd to the tense moments of anticipation, sports have a special way of bringing people from all walks of life to a united front.
On this podcast, we'll explore the stories into the highs and lows, the triumphs and heartbreaks that makes being a sports fan an emotional roller coaster ride.
The podcast where we dive deep into the heart of sports fandom, discussing the latest sports news and opinions on the sports we love.
Get ready for a rockin' ride, because whether we're podcasters, broadcasters, or listeners, we're all fans first.
This is the Spirited Sports Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Spirited Sports Podcast, episode 20. Thank you so much for listening. 20 episodes, that's pretty big, and we have now officially hit 250 all-time downloads across our channel here. So congratulations to everybody here, and to all of you listening, wherever you are. It is now a new era of the Spirited Sports Podcast, a little bit of reshuffling as we saw in last episode with Ben taking a remote collaborator role, and we have a new co-host to introduce. Let's introduce him right away.
Hello, Spirited Sports Squad. It is an absolute pleasure to finally introduce myself and my role. My name is Tolly Kakaletras, and I'm officially a co-host for the Spirited Sports Podcast. This is an exciting new chapter which consists of the co-hosts of myself, Nicholas DeChico, and Todd Ashdua, along with Ben Tedesco in his remote role. Now, without further ado, let's get into this episode of the Spirited Sports Podcast.
That was quite an introduction, Tolly. Great job.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Great job. As Tolly said, we have another action-packed episode. Let's get into it with some football. It's second and goal time. Todd, take it away.
Yep. So it was pretty interesting to see. Obviously, we talked about the trades last week. Davante Adams to the Jets, Amari Cooper to the Bills. But then we also have another trade, DeAndre Hopkins to the Kansas City Chiefs. Big move there for the Chiefs. Obviously, Hopkins in his early 30s, he may not be the all-pro DeAndre Hopkins that we saw back in 2018, 2019, when he was, you know, like one of the best receivers in the NFL. But he's still a good big body receiver who can make plays down the field. And, you know, if you look at the Chiefs right now, like, their wide receiver situation is kind of messy. Like, a lot of injuries there. Rashee Rice, their number one guy, is probably out for the season, unfortunately. Travis Kelce doesn't necessarily look the same on the field right now, which makes sense. He's 35 years old and has suffered a lot of injuries throughout his career. You know, and then Xavier Worthy has a lot of talent, but he's a rookie, so he's still kind of getting, you know, used to the NFL game and everything. So I think Hopkins will help the Chiefs. Did they need help? I mean, you can talk about that. They're already 6-0, and like, they're the two-time defending Super Bowl champions. Still, Hopkins is a good addition. What do you guys think of this?
I think it was a really good trade for the Chiefs. I think, did they need help? I think they did. You know, their injuries were getting to them a little bit. You know, you saw that in a few games where they're just, you know, we went into the season looking at the Chiefs that had a lot of weapons. So bringing in a guy like DeAndre Hopkins is definitely a big add for Mahomes and the Chiefs.
I really like this. I think DeAndre Hopkins is going to complement Justin Watson and Mecole Hardman well, along with Xavier Worthy. So I really like it.
All right. Now, what about some injury reports to talk about? 49ers have not looked as good as they have in the last few seasons, being in the Super Bowl last year and only two of the last three, right?
Two of the last five, I think. Five? They made three straight NFC Championship.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So they've been successful in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But injuries have really, really hindered them. Now, with Brandon Ayuk, who was a lot of the talk over the summer that we spoke about, right? So he's out for the season with a torn ACL and MCL. His season is done. CMC and Deebo Samuel are also on the injured list. Underachieving so far this season, and you know, they're just under 500. Do you think they make some big splashes here as we approach the trade deadline?
Honestly, I was thinking first they would probably go towards the defense. But now with these injuries to Ayuk, obviously out for the season, very unfortunate there of how talented of a player he is. And then Deebo having that illness, I think he should be back quite soon, which is good. And McCaffrey will be back. They're expecting him to be back probably around week 10 after their bye week, which is awesome. And I saw this stat too the other day that the 49ers, after, I think it was like during the second half of the season over the last 3 years or so, they have the best record in the NFL. It's like 23-5 from like November and December. So they're used to kind of picking up their pace of play as the season comes to an end. I think the Niners can still make a run in the playoffs. It's going to be tough. I think the NFC is a lot tougher than it was last year.
All right. Second goal is done. Let's talk about some basketball.
Yeah. So obviously NBA season 2024-25 NBA season has started. A lot of excitement here, obviously. And it's going to be fun to see just the season kind of kick off. We did have a few games, or actually a lot of games happen on Wednesday. In this city, in Toronto, the Cavaliers came into Toronto and beat the Raptors pretty good. Beat them by 30 points at Scotiabank Arena. What do you guys think about this?
Is that ironic? The Raptors are in their 30th season, and in their first game, they lost by 30 points.
Yeah, that's not...
No, that's not... But you look across the league... You know, the Bucks and 76ers, the Bucks beat them by 15 points. The Lakers beat the Timberwolves by 7 points at Crypto.com Arena. Still think of the Staples Center when I think of L.A. And the Suns and Clippers. Phoenix beat the Clippers in overtime in the Clippers' new dome, their new arena.
Yeah, that was a good win for the Suns there. Clippers, they have a lot of stuff to sort out, man, because I'm not sure you heard about that. You guys heard about that Kawhi Leonard stuff, about how his trainer is, like, trying to sue the team or something. It's just...
Yeah.
It's just not good.
It's not they're not in a good spot.
No, there was a lot in... Yeah. I mean, I saw that, too. I mean, we've seen a lot of load management with Kawhi. I mean, with the Raptors, too, that a couple of years ago, that was something that was very prevalent. But as Nick brought up, the Lakers did win. We got to see Bronny. Finally,
yeah,
that was awesome seeing him check in with his father, LeBron, there too. That father-son duo is, you know, definitely, I mean, in LA, such a big market, LeBron and now Bronny. I mean, that seems like that's just a feel-good story.
Kind of speaking of that, I think it's interesting to look at my kind of storyline, I guess, coming to the season is like, who is the best team in the Western Conference? I guess we can kind of go around quickly and kind of give your opinion.
I guess I'll go first. I think it might actually be Dallas having Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, and Luka Doncic together on the court is just a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, I have to agree. I'm going to take the Mavs to be the best in the West.
Yeah, the Mavericks definitely are a very good team. Three future Hall of Famers, like we said, right? Luka, Kyrie, and Klay Thompson. But I had to pick one team, and I'm promising you guys I'm not being biased here. I got to go with the Oklahoma City Thunder. You know, last year they were number one seed in the Western Conference, won 57 games. Obviously, Dallas beat them in the second round, which was a very, very good series in six games. But I think this year, looking at this Thunder team, I mean, you got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's the MVP runner-up last year. Jalen Williams is an absolute stud going into his third year. And then Chet Holmgren, I mean, I'm not sure if you guys saw last night what he looked like against Nikola Jokic, the MVP. He was really, really good. And the Thunder had the youngest team in the NBA, which is pretty interesting to see them being that good. And, you know, they added Alex Caruso, who's a very good defensive player, and Isaiah Hartenstein, who unfortunately broke his, I think it was his hand. So he's going to be out for a little bit, but he's going to help the Thunder, especially with that physicality and rebounding like he did with the Knicks last year. So I got to go with the OKC Thunder here.
I just want to go over to the WNBA now.
Oh, yeah.
The New York Liberty won 3-2 over the Minnesota Lynx in a best of five. The Liberty, as I said, won 67-62 in overtime, worth mentioning, and they outscored Minnesota 7-2 in the extra frame. And this is their first ever championship title in their 28th season. And this is New York City's first professional basketball championship since the Knicks' first NBA title in 1973, which is 51 years ago. I want to ask the question, though, what were everyone's at with that controversial foul call there at the end of the fourth quarter?
I mean, I was watching that game. Personally, I thought it wasn't a foul. But then when you look at the replay, like, you can see Breonna Stewart, like, literally, like, her, I think it was her left hand got hit as she was shooting, so I think it was the right call, personally. I think Minnesota, obviously, it was a very tough series. I think they had their chances, particularly in Game 3. That was the biggest game. It was a 1-1 series. They're at home. And obviously, Sabrina Ionescu hit that clutch shot, which was pretty cool to see there. But it was, I don't know. I feel like it was a foul, and officials made the right call there. And, you know, for the Liberty to win that game five and win that championship with Breonna Stewart and INSU kind of shooting kind of poorly from the field and still able to get out that win and grind it out, I think that's what championship teams do. Even when their two best players don't play great, they find a way, and that's what happened there.
I think it was a great series. It was great playoffs for the WNBA. Another great season for them, working their way up in popularity as well. I think that they really skyrocketed, you know, with Caitlin Clark's first season and everything like that, breaking records, Angel Reese as well. On the call, I think it was the right call, as you said, Todd. But yeah, congrats to Liberty. Good story here as their first championship.
And now, it's puck drop time with Nick.
All right, let's do it here. So, the Winnipeg Jets, what do we think? Hot start, they're undefeated. They're 7-0. I didn't think that going into the season. I thought that they would have a struggling start. And then the Jets are good. Oilers are not looking good. Yeah. The Oilers are not looking good. They haven't been what we were expecting here. Even the Nashville Predators, a cold start as well. Now, what about Canadian teams here? Cole Caulfield, 6 goals, 1 assist, and 7 points through 7 regular season games. That's a point per game. So that's good for him so far. As we go on to the Maple Leafs, good depth scoring from Bobby McMahon in his goals the first few games. Good plays from the fourth line. I thought the fourth line was really well utilized in the last few games. Berube, again, better utilization of the bottom six. Although the Leafs, the last two games, 6-1 and 5-1 results. So giving up 11 goals through two games is not a good look. Shouldn't have happened, but I know Berube will set his team straight.
Oh, yeah.
Because he
doesn't play around.
He is the chief. He does not play around, exactly. The Colorado Avalanche. We were starting some notes earlier this week, thinking that they'd be really, really in a bad spot. But they're like the Rams. They came back. They won 3 games in a row. They're 3-4 so far. Injuries have really hindered their abilities. Lekkonen, Drouin, Taves, and Nichushkin all out for the Avalanche. Nichushkin with his player assistance program issues there. Taves, Drouin, and Lekkonen with injuries respectively. So stars out of the lineup, and Colorado is 3-4 under 500 to start the season. What do we think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Colorado is, I like how you mentioned it to the Rams. It's kind of a funny thing there, especially because they both won championships during the same season back in 2021-22. But yeah, I think the Avalanche are obviously a very talented team. They're dealing with a lot of injuries right now, but I do think once they get some of these guys back, like Lekkonen, Drouin, Taze, Nichushkin, we'll have to see with that, but those are all valuable players to their team. And I think once they get those guys back, and obviously, you know, when you have McKinnon and, you know, you have Makar, like, you have probably, what, two top five players on your team already?
Absolutely.
So, like, I don't know. I think the Avalanche, they're going to be just fine in that central division, personally. And I think they'll be able to snag one of the top three spots when it's all said and done.
And then there was also a funny story with Vitek Vanacek there that I wanted to pass over to Nick to bring up. And also, I wanted Nevin's thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, so Nevin is here with us as our director, and he's going to be jumping in every so often now.
Shout out, Nevin.
Yes.
Nevin the GOAT.
Thanks, yeah. Guys. Hello, by the way.
Hey. So Vitek Vanacek, his jersey was misspelled. He went on to the ice, and his jersey was misspelled. Nevin, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, how does that even happen? Like, I don't know. I've never seen that. Like, nobody's ever seen that before. I don't know who is, like, crafting the jerseys. Maybe it was just that one. But it must have been I'm thinking it must have been a bunch of jerseys that were misspelled. Because how do you just get that one jersey wrong?
For the guy that's wearing it.
Yeah. Like, there's must be others as well that's spelled the exact same way. Probably. So it was just kind of funny.
Now, I want to touch on Anthony Stolarz, an incident that happened when the Leafs lost the Rangers on last Saturday. And there was an incident with a skate blade coming off for Stolarz, and he was not happy at how the situation was managed. He thought the whistle should have been blown, but it wasn't, and he almost faced a shot with no skate blade. And just to provide some context with that, if you're an NHL goalie and you have no skate blade, you're stuck. You're dead in the water. You can't move. So just that alone, not being able to move, facing a shot that's 80 miles per hour plus.
Yeah, that's not.
That's not a good situation, especially if you're defenseless like that. So he wasn't happy with it. I'm just going to read a quote that he said here.
Mm-hmm.
"It's all about player safety. I'm sitting there not realizing and kicking out. Your groin is just kind of going, and it's an imminent scoring chance. I understand it, but the puck is at the other end. I don't really understand why we couldn't have just blown it."
Yeah, I mean, this is my last thing. I know I have to get back to the board, I believe that he's right. I mean, if you saw him when he lost the skate blade, because he's so big, I think he's like 6'6".
Yep.
So he just kind of just hid in the net and just like tried to take up as much space without moving. But yeah, I agree with them. Like, if the other team has no real threat of scoring, and it was in their end, right? I think that's a good time to blow it dead. If it's in their zone and they've had a lot of possession and in the Leafs' end, then yeah, then of course you can't blow it. But there was no real threat, so I think the refs maybe weren't used to that situation ever happening, so they were kind of hesitant. But I don't think no one's really at fault. It's just it's just one of those moments that happen, you know.
And I think it's a rule thing as well. And I think, you know, when the GM's meeting come up next, I think that it'll be definitely a point of discussion, because, you know, when a skater loses a skate blade, right, a forward or defenseman, you know, you just push them off the ice and they change, right? You can't do that with a goalie. A goalie's not going to change mid-play. So,
yeah,
unless it's a moving change, but that's not going to happen. So I just, from a rule book standpoint, I think the refs played it well. They didn't have to blow it dead, but for the safety of the players and for everybody involved, I think it should have been blown dead. But let's move on to game time. It's game time. Let's do it. So it is time. Play a game here. Two truths and a lie.
Oof, okay.
The classic game. I've got some questions here for the three of you.
Okay.
So Nevin, join us in here. So for every topic that we talked about, so football, basketball, and the NHL, we have a two truths and a lie, and you guys have to figure out which one is the lie.
Okay.
All right.
No, and there's no lie detector test in here. This is all coming from us here, so we can verify the validity of the game. But go ahead, Nick. We're looking forward to this.
All right. So the Cleveland Browns are 6-1. Sorry, are 1-6.
Mm-hmm.
There were two massive injuries in the NFL that we talked about this week, and Tua suffered his fourth concussion against the Bengals.
Tua suffering that concussion, fourth concussion against the Bengals.
Yeah, absolute lie right there. That's I mean, as much as, you know, it could happen, I think I agree.
It didn't happen. I don't think it happened against the Bengals. That's why I'm pretty sure it didn't happen.
He has four concussions though, right? I think
three documented.
I think three were documented, but there's also the fourth there too, but three were was the third diagnosed concussion.
Yeah.
Okay, so totally, which one's the lie?
I'm also gonna go with the concussion.
Yes, the concussion one was the lie, but it wasn't the fourth, because there was four, but he suffered against the Bills.
Not
the Bengals.
Yeah, the first one was against the Bengals, or the second one, one of those two. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. We got it. One way or another, we got there.
Good job.
All right.
Basketball.
Ooh.
The Raptors lost by the same amount of points as the years they've been in existence.
Wow.
A team won their first ever championship this week, and all regular season games so far in the NBA ended in regulation.
Oh, all NBA, all the games ended in regulation. We just have to put the Suns and the Clippers.
Yeah, well, if
that was overtime.
Well, about the first championship, I think the Liberty did, so that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
Nevin, how about you? What do you think?
I think, I agree with Todd, because the Harden missed the last free throw, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's true. That's a lie.
I agree. That's a lie. The game went to overtime. We saw it. All games did not end in regulation.
Yes. Good job.
There we go.
KD scored the dagger in that game.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
KD. What a great player, too. He's been really consistent over his career, and
yeah.
You know, I don't think maybe necessarily gets enough credit, because it seems like wherever he's played, he's continuously been a high performer. So shout out KD.
Easy money sniper.
Yes, sir.
All right, now for the final two truths and a lie in the NHL. One player we talked about this week is a point per game player. There are three teams in the NHL without a regulation loss, and we talked about five players that are currently out of the lineup for the Colorado Avalanche.
Well, the point per game we said with Nick brought that up earlier with Caulfield, so we can slash that one. And then Colorado,
it was four. I don't think it was five.
Well, and then the last one was
Three teams without a regulation loss.
Ooh,
I think it's
that's
the last
two.
It was four. It was only four players. It wasn't five players.
I'm trying to think, Nevin. I don't know if there's a. I think it's the two. I think there hasn't been three. How about you?
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's the third one. I think it's the Avalanche one. I don't think they have. I think it was four players, not five.
I think it's you said the three don't. I think only two have. So I'm gonna go with that one.
Okay, I'm sorry. I wrote this up last night before the games ended. It is the Colorado Avalanche
yes.
one. I'm very sorry, but the Rangers lost in regulation last night.
Oh yeah,
that was the deciding factor. When I wrote it in the afternoon, the Rangers were still without a regulation loss. All right, so let's talk about some baseball now. Let's throw it over to our remote collaborator, Ben Tedesco. Ben, take it away.
Thank you, Nick. I'm Ben Tedesco. I'm the remote collaborator for the Spirited Sports Podcast. So let's just get into this. The World Series matchup this year is pretty loaded. MLB is probably foaming at the mouth right now because two of the biggest markets are going at it. Dodgers and the Yankees. The Yankees have struggled to make noise in the postseason for the past decade and a half, which is something very out of character for them. But with the acquisition of postseason hero Juan Soto and the reemergence of Giancarlo Stanton this postseason, plus stellar pitching from Gerrit Cole and their bullpen, the Yankees are going back to the World Series for the first time since 2009. The key for them in this series, though, is Aaron Judge. He has to get it going if they want to win this thing. He's been struggling the past couple series and just hasn't been able to get going, only having an OPS of around .704, which for him is quite low, but for any other player, I think you take that every day. If those core players can get going, they'll be well on their way to winning their 28th World Series. But the Dodgers and Shohei have something to say about that, as after a season that saw the team spend $1 billion, anything less than that would have been considered a failure. I feel like they're the underdog here though, as the starting pitching has been very shaky for them this postseason. And even having players like Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, and Max Muncy teeing off on other starters can't help that fact. Their bullpen though has been pretty solid, not allowing the Padres in the NLDS to score a run in just over two games, and allowing the Dodgers offense to do their thing. The Dodgers coming alive and pushing through the adversity may have saved manager Dave Roberts' job, as he's been questioned by the media due to the way he's acted throughout the postseason. What do I think though? Personally, I just don't really care. It's two of the top teams, sure, and some of the brightest stars, but it also features two of the most insufferable markets in the sport. I was debating if I'd watch the games. I might, but this matchup doesn't nearly excite me as much as it probably should. And one last quick thing, the Toronto Blue Jays managed to find their next hitting coach in David Popkins. Popkins was the hitting coach of the Twins for 3 years starting in 2021, and has helped the Twins to be an above average team offensively. He's also helped transform role players like Matt Wallner, Trevor Larnach, and Willie Castillo into above average hitters. I like this hire, and now I feel the emphasis for fans should be on the players to perform, not blaming the hitting coach. Back to you, Nick.
All right, so that will do it for the end of episode 20 of the Spirited Sports Podcast. Todd and now Tolly, thank you guys very much for being here with all of us. So thank you. Nevin, again, thank you for your contributions here as well, our new director. And Tolly, you are now our new co-host. Ben as well on his good work there in the episode. So Tolly, you wanted to...
Yeah, just last thought. You know, this episode was obviously a blast and super pumped for all the future episodes. And I know there's a lot more to come with Todd and Nick and myself, with also Ben and Nevin, along with, you know, all the guest speakers that we also continue to bring in over the episodes. I just want to thank Nick for those kind words there. And teamwork makes the dream work. There's a lot of camaraderie. There's a lot of chemistry here, and I think ending off with a nice laugh there, courtesy of Todd's compadre comment, is a great way to end off, as we had a lot of fun.
All right, that'll do it. Thank you very much for listening to the Spirited Sports Podcast, episode 20, and we will see you next time.